Today on Real Life Radio.
When God says to your life, this is what I want you to do. Do you understand? He loves you. He's not punishing you. Well, if I yield to God completely, he's going to ask me to do stuff. Listen. You yield to God completely, and you will love whatever he tells you to do. It's true.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called Theology and Me, Part 4, continues his series called The Why Series. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives today? You see, we're all part of God's grand design. We are created with a body, a soul, a spirit, and everything that comes along with it. We are also unique in that we have a will that's influenced by both good and evil, and right and wrong. The world is a battleground of what influences us the most. But when we submit our will to God's will, we are choosing to know God personally and experience His love and His care for us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that willful slavery to God's will is our greatest freedom. Our minds may battle with the thought of total submission, but there's no greater joy than to be in service to God's will and purpose for our lives and for the world around us. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
That is the nature of our humanity apart from God. We plot, we scheme, or we're yielded to the will of God. But there's going to be that confrontation. Next, I'm a big fan of this one. It's not pleasant, but it's been a great thing in my life. We need to be experiencing a crisis of faith. We need to have that crisis of faith moment. I've often used that term, crisis of faith. And again, a crisis of faith always reveals what we're made of. And I know that's terrifying. It's terrifying, people. Listen, Christian, you raised your hand a moment ago. That same hand needs to also basically say, I volunteer myself. For what? What are you volunteering yourself for? For God to look inside of me through and through. That when I raise my hand, I'm saying that God, I'm offering myself up for you to lead me closer, bring me closer to you, which means my will has got to decrease. My will needs to die. God, bring me to that crisis of faith. You see, what do I mean crisis of faith? A crisis of faith is when whatever situation is going on in your life, it takes you to what I'll say, for lack of a better term, the breaking point. The faith that you and I have at this moment, each of us individually, we have a certain level of faith in each of us at any given time. It is the will of God that I not stay in that condition. Some people sign up for stuff and they play it safe, right? Listen, when you sign up to follow Jesus, it's anything but safe. So I can't take any risk. I want to sit over there. And I understand that feeling. But I want to tell you, as an old guy, you want to see the Bible go to work? You want to see things happen? Yes. It's not going to happen sitting in the corner. There are those, even in Christianity, armchair Christians or something, you know, where, I don't know, man, this Bible, where's all the power? Where's all the miracles? Where's all the action, man? Oh, let's talk about your life. Well, who are you? Where are you? What do you do? What's God leading you to do? And people who, I found this, people who criticize the Bible as though it's deficient in their life, there is a deficiency because they're just sitting in the corner. I don't see any power. Well, I have to agree with you. You don't see any power. And as long as you sit in the corner, get used to it. Well, I want my faith to grow. Then you got to get up out of the corner. That's right.
What does that mean?
Step out on the edge of a cliff, spiritually speaking. Well, you never can tell these days. And become radically dependent upon God. And then the power shows up. You'd never hand a chainsaw to a two-year-old. Right? Can't do anything with it. Doesn't know what to do with it. Why would God give you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I want the power of the Spirit. For what? So I can sit here and watch the Rams play the goats. No, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get the power. He's not going to give it unless you're willing to have his will be done in your life. And then I'm going to tell you, put a mouthpiece in, strap a helmet on, and hang on. Because I tell you what, all of us at this church, we're trying to keep up with Jesus. It's amazing. People always ask, how's it going? How's it going? I had somebody today in Washington, D.C. How's it going? I'm trying to keep up with them. Jesus is out there, man. This is the end, man. It's like sprint to the finish line. And the church is trying to keep up with them. Just keep your eyes on them. It's pretty exciting. A crisis of faith. A crisis of faith is not realizing, listen, it's not realizing a greater plan for your life. That's not a crisis of faith. Listen, realizing a greater plan for your life? A greater plan for your life? No. A crisis of faith is finding out you have no plan. And even if you did, you just throw it in the trash can because it's only his plan for your life. Thy will be done, O God. And this radically affects your will. It's remarkable. In Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to paraphrase for time's sake. If you don't mind, you can write it down. Please read it later in its entirety. Genesis 22 verses 1 through 12, the Bible tells us that God spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to take your son and I want you to go to a mountain that I will show you. By the way, when you go read that later tonight, it's quite amazing. God tells Abraham, who's the father of Isaac, take a three-day journey, it says. 3 days. He doesn't tell Isaac. And there's two assistants with him. He doesn't tell them either. They go on a journey. Who knows? Abraham knows. The moment Abraham heard from God, I want you to take your son and offer him up on a mountain I will show you. It's a 3 days journey from here. Go. The moment God tells you something, you haven't even embarked upon it yet, and the struggle begins. Is that not true?
Yes.
Okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what you're going to be going through. This is what you're going to experience. It's coming up. God prompts us, and listen, it's as good, even though he tells you, it's Abraham, and for 3 days, Abraham had in his head the death of his son Isaac. So the Bible says they travel 3 days, they go to Moriah, they go to the high ground of Moriah. Moriah is a big hilltop on a slope. And at the top of Moriah, by the way, Zion is down here. Moriah is the whole thing. And at the top of the high ground of Moriah is a place called Golgotha. Ring a bell?
Yeah.
Jesus was crucified on Moriah at the top of the Moriah Golgotha. Jesus carried the wood. And he carried on his shoulders, as it were, your judgment. Isaac carried the wood and the fire. He goes up. Father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham doesn't tell him the whole story, does he? Not exactly. He doesn't say, oh, I should have told you this 3 days ago. You're going to lay down, and I'm going to take out a knife, and I'm going to sacrifice you to God. But don't worry. Because our God is the God of resurrection, even if you die, you're going to be resurrected from the dead because God's promises that were given to me will have to come through your loins. So Isaac, you've got to live even if I kill you. So you ready for this? You can go 1,000 directions in this illustration. Number one, Isaac submitted to the will of the father. The Bible says that they went up the mountain in agreement. Okay, let's do this. Isaac, let's do this. Abraham was old. Isaac was young. Isaac could have knocked out Abraham and ran away. Abraham says, son, and the old King James reads it the most accurate. Son, my God, our God, the Lord, will provide himself, definite article, the sacrifice, the lamb. The Lord will provide himself the lamb. Meaning, Isaac, you're not even the lamb. You're not even the sacrifice. Imagine what Abraham could have said. I'm submitting to the will of God because God's doing something in my life. He's bringing me right to the brink because you know what? Isaac, you're an idol in my life. I love you so much that sometimes you get in the way of me obeying God. You're everything to me. I'd give everything for you. And God's been speaking to my heart. And God's supposed to be number one on a list of one, not number one on a list of 10. But you know what? Sometimes on a list of two, you're at the top. And God showed me something today on this mountaintop. I didn't know I had the obedience in me to do this, but I trusted God to raise you from the dead if need be, based on his promises. And the moment my hand began to go down toward your body, the angel of the Lord stopped me. And God knows all things, but he said, now I know that you love me and you will not withhold anything from me, Abraham. God knew that. You know who didn't know it? Abraham didn't know it. Now I know. God will bring you right to the brink of what looks like absolute disaster to get you to trust him and to yield your will to him. Amen. Remarkable. Proverbs 3, you know this. Proverbs 3, verse 3, starting there. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. That's an act of slavery, by the way. Self-enslavement. Isn't that interesting? Chain mercy to your neck. You do that. God's provided the mercy. He wants us to yoke that to ourselves. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Engrave. Carve God's word into your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not your own heart. Not your own trust, I should say. And lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, not yourself. What am I going to do? I always land on my feet. How do I scheme this one? Nope, give that up. If you do that, he will direct your paths. Submitting your will to him. Again, quickly, Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Give up his will. Take up his cross, follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Isn't that powerful? Yes. The next thought is this. Your will for his will must be done. That's the ultimate goal in our lives. Is my will for his will has got to be done in my life. And here's the punch. The final consideration is willful slavery to his will. Intentional slavery to his will is our greatest freedom. I want you to think about that. And here's where we end. When I'm in control, when my thoughts are on me and about me, I find myself getting anxious. I find myself not seeing how is this going to happen? When I take what concerns me and cast it to the Lord, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all of your care upon him because he cares for you. If I do that, I find myself relaxing in his truth. I wind up actually almost having to apologize for my peace. Jack, do you understand what's going on? Yeah, I get it. Well, I don't think you do. You should be freaking out and biting your fingernails like everybody else. I don't know. God's going to work this out somehow. Oh, brother, there you go. That God stuff again. You feel like, well, I should at least put on some show of panic. Listen, slavery to his will is absolute liberty. When God says to your life, this is what I want you to do. Do you understand? He loves you. He's not punishing you. Well, if I yield to God completely, he's going to ask me to do stuff. Listen. You yield to God completely, and you will love whatever he tells you to do. It's true. When you're battling with your will, yield it to him, it's a rough road. Because you're going to contend with him. Everything he says, you're not going to be sure about. You're going to be, you know, what's he trying to do to me? Is he punishing me? No. The greatest thing that you and I can do is to take our desire, plan, the way that we see it, opinions, and give it to him. And that's not, I'm not inviting you to a life of idleness, the exact opposite. For those of us who've been around Christians and churches and Christianity, we have this jargon where it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, that's awesome if you are in fact waiting on the Lord. But don't let it be a saying. When we say we're waiting on the Lord, we are saying, I'm killing my will every day to what God wants to do in my life. And when he does do what he does in my life, it's amazing. There's no greater thing for you and I to do than to become slaves to our master whose will is 100% for you to prosper even as your soul prospers and all that he calls you to do. He will not call you to do something that fails. Let's stand, and I'll tell you this one story in closing. And the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor, brought the gospel to China. Way back. And he preached, and no converts. No fruit. This went on for, I think, a decade or two. No fruit in his ministry. Hudson Taylor, big zero. Hudson Taylor leads one man to Christ eventually. Hudson Taylor dies. Can you imagine? He dies, enters into heaven. I don't know if he walked in there with his head hanging down or what, but man, I failed you, Lord. Well, how'd you fail me? I didn't lead anybody to you but this one guy, and I forget the guy's name, but we'll call him Wilbur. didn't lead anybody to Christ but Wilbur. And you can almost see God turning Hudson Taylor around and having him look back down on the earth, because that Wilbur dude led a bazillion Chinese to Christ, and that never would have happened without Hudson Taylor. When you submit your will to God, you serve him, and you leave the results to him.
Amen.
And for those of you who are still trying to make your life happen, pull it off, go ahead. We'll know who you are. Your nose will be bloody. Your forehead will be flat. There'll be some splattered blood on the walls where you've been trying to get your will done. And it never turns out well. Jesus said, lose your life and you'll find it. Father, you are awesome in all of your ways. Lord, I pray that tonight that we would go from this place with a sense of liberality from the bonds and the chains that have often ensnared us And Lord, we pray too that you'd open up our eyes to see more of the expanse. Lord, you see in my mind right now, I remember being a young boy and my dad got us out of the car and we stood on that road somewhere in Montana. And when my dad said, "This is why they call it the Big Sky Country." And there was more sky than there was ground. Look in every direction. And the earth seemed to be sitting on the tip of a needle, suspended in sky. Lord, open up our eyes to a greater expanse of who you are. Lord, take our plans, our hopes, our endeavors, sanctify them to your purpose. What's not of you, dissolve. What is of you, solidify. Lord, if there's anything in our lives that's not foundational, shake it away. And Lord, what is foundational, strengthen. Lord, we give you our lives tonight. Church, can you lift your hands up? Let's pray. Lord, we give you our lives tonight. We ask you to sanctify us to your perfect plan. Forgive us, Lord, for often counseling you, telling you how it ought to go. Forgive us. And Lord, we pray that you would infuse within us great faith. Faith to rest. Faith to enjoy you. That the joy of the Lord would be our strength. And Jesus, as you said it, really doesn't matter what we obtain in this life that we should rejoice in, but to rejoice in this, that your names are written down in heaven. Lord, we thank you that tonight our names are written down in heaven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of not only each and every one of us, but for the world. And that Christ rose again from the dead, guaranteeing our salvation and our justification. Any man or woman today, boy or girl, would you put your trust in Jesus now? He's the only one that makes sense at this time. You know that, right? He's the only one that has the answers right now. He's the only one that can take care of you from now on. He is your future. Trust him. Believe in him. Take your sins to him and ask him to forgive you. And he will do that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Theology and Me, Part 4. We're so glad you could be with us today. Theology and Me, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, history gives us a lot of examples from which we can draw strength. And Pastor Jack's book of the month for November, it's called The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It. It's by William J. Federer. This historic link is just exactly what we need to help overcome the many challenges that we're facing here in America today. You see, the Pilgrims' fight for religious freedom, it's more than just a Thanksgiving story. It's a miraculous escape from religious oppression. The Pilgrim experience took place during a very dark and dangerous time in human history. And when you read about the Pilgrims' rescue from the Barbary pirates and how God provided for them even when near starvation, you're going to feel a new boldness to share your own faith. The Treacherous World of the 16th Century and How the Pilgrims Escaped It by William J. Federer. It's sure to inspire you, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you visit our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.